Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 2, give you a little something to encourage you, hopefully, in a passage of Scripture that was given to us by the Lord in Philippians chapter 2. That's very instructive, not often carried out. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. You know, what leads up to this passage is the humility of Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, His exaltation, and then He says, Philippians 2:12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will dive right in this. David, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Now, Philippians 2, 12 and 13 don't preach work salvation. They don't say work out your own salvation with fear and trembling as if that's how you get saved. But they do preach works after salvation. Because he said it's God in verse 13 which worketh in you both to do and to will of His good pleasure. Well, He doesn't get in you until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And once you have Him in you, then the works start. Like a fellow said, salvation is easy, commitment is hard. There's something that must be done after you get saved. And a lot of time that work doesn't start soon enough in a person's life. You know, we've concentrated a lot of attention over the years on young people and encouraging them in their salvation. And we talk about how they stray away for a while, and a lot of times in their 30s they'll come back to the Lord. You know what part of the reason is? In those younger years, they're not working on the salvation that God has given them. They receive it as a free gift, and they're actually working on many other things. And so the question comes up, why is it that some Christians do so well after they get saved in growing and producing and blossoming, really, as Christians, and why others just seem to be stale and stagnant in their Christian growth? And the reason is very simple. They're not working at their salvation. Work out your own salvation, he says, with fear and trembling. And that's not just godly reverence. That is knee-knocking fear of God. Kind of like what Blake read in his little epistle that he wrote there. And he said, that I may love you and fear you. Now, so Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. He knew there was something to do, and in 3.5 years, he got it all done. So let me give you a few little pointers that might help you in your life, figure out why, if your life is not growing the way that you think it should, why, what may be going on that is causing it to stagnate. First thing is neglect. The first thing is neglect. Look at 1 Timothy 4:14. We won't come back to Philippians 2. That is our text. But we are going with that text in mind to figure out why it doesn't work for some people as far as working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. The first thing is neglect. 1 Timothy 4:14, look what Paul said to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, and he goes on to say, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, truthfully, that's something that's very specific that's directed to Timothy, but may I tell you something? When you read in Romans chapter 12, and you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the body ministry, you know, God's given you something in your salvation that's not only your salvation, but it's something that some pattern and plan that He has for your life. And He gives you His grace and a measure of faith to be able to grow up in that. And you know what happens to a lot of times with Christians? They neglect that. And they don't work with that. and allow God in them to grow. And may I tell you something? When you neglect the salvation that God has in you, you know, honestly, there are people today who profess to be saved, and when you ask them about their salvation, if what the Bible says is true and if their faith is true, they're saved. But they look just like a lost person. I remember preaching a funeral one time, and I said to the smattering of people that came, this wasn't a very well-known individual, there were as many people at the funeral as there are here, and I said something about his salvation, and I had a fella approach me after the service. I knew that he was saved because I talked with his wife, and he said, "I am really glad that you mentioned to the folks that were there about this fellow's salvation." Because he said, "Most people don't know it, but I know it. I'm the guy that led him to the Lord." And that was an encouragement to hear you speak that. But, you know, how sad, I'm the one that had to tell the rest of the people who knew him that he was saved, and they didn't even know it. You know what that is? That's neglect. It's neglect. And when you neglect those things that God has given you that when working on would allow you to grow, you're not going to grow. Okay? Like, for instance, if you were to garden, you could go in and prepare your soil, and you could plant your seeds and get the garden started properly. If you don't water and fertilize and weed that garden, are you going to have much in the way of production? No, of course not. Now, in you, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are fruit. And you know, that fruit doesn't become apparent if the soul and the salvation in that soul is neglected. It's all grown over with weeds and shows all the signs of neglect. Okay? So that's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Why is it that some Christians just don't seem to get that growth going? The first thing is neglect. If you don't take the time with what God's given you, you're not going to grow. Second thing is fear. Fear. Matthew chapter 25. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, we start in here with in verse 14 with the parable of the talents. And you're familiar with that parable. One got five, and one got two, and one got one, and five doubled his, and two doubled his, and one didn't do anything with his. And in verse 25... Well, in verse 24, he begins his excuse. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed.'" Watch it. Verse 25. "And I was afraid." You see, he put the blame off on the Lord in the first thing, but the truth of the matter is he was afraid. "And when it hid thy talent in the earth, lo, there thou hast that is thine." In other words, if you want it, go dig it out of the place where I hid it over there. All right? You know what that problem is? That's fear. That's fear. Now, it's okay to be circumspect. That is, to have enough caution that you're checking a thing out before you step into it blindly and making a fool out of yourself and God. I've seen some people in the name of spirituality charge into something everybody knew this thing's going to be a disaster, and sure enough, it was. All right, so exercising some caution and common sense would have been very appropriate there. But fear, you know, fear is a gripping thing. For instance, if you're walking down a lighted street at night, and the shortcut to your hotel is a dark alley, and you start in there, and all of a sudden you get that ooey-ooey feeling and pull out of that thing, that's fear, and it's a gripping thing. It stops you from going, and in this case, doing something stupid. That wouldn't be a very smart thing for you to walk down that dark alley when you go another block out of your way, staying in the light, protecting yourself. You know, when your parents say to you, "Don't touch the stove," and you touch it, and it's hot, and then you don't touch it again, you know, you're afraid of getting burned again. Fear is a gripping thing. It has a tendency to stop you. And when you're afraid to explore the things that God wants you to do spiritually, it's going to stop you. In the same way, but in a bad sense, it'll stop you. You know what it's like? It's like coming up to a yellow blinking light and stopping and not going through it. The yellow blinking light tells you to proceed with caution, but it tells you to proceed. Years ago, a fellow and his wife were traveling through North Carolina, and they came to a real small town, very quaint, and the people had a lot of pride in their city, so everything was clean. All the buildings were freshly painted. All the glass was clean. all the little shops and stores were opening, and they were so impressed with the cute little town that at the street light, they hesitated and didn't realize that it had already changed to green and then yellow and then red a couple of times and hadn't gone through. And the sheriff was over there. They'd just finished having coffee, and he walked up, tapped on the glass of that car like that. The fella rolled it down and said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "That's all the colors we got." You know. Okay, you got all the colors you got there with the Lord, you know. If fear of like witnessing, some of you went out the other day and did that after some soul winning, and you were like gripped with fear before you went out, mouth all dry and eyes blinking and blood pressure up and all that. I understand that, but you know what? It didn't stop you. It didn't stop you. You went ahead and did it anyway. And you say, you know, I had a little distaste with that because it was kind of fear. Don't let it stop you in the future. I'm amazed at the number of people who have come to me since all of this and said, at my work, somebody approached me. At my work, I approached somebody and talked to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had the nerve to go through and do it. You know what? Don't neglect. Go through that, and don't fear. Just go through that. Because listen, God's with you. He said, you want to fear something, fear me, but don't fear men. You'll be fine, okay? You'll be fine. You can grow like that. All right, now turn in 1 Kings chapter 20. To verse 40 is the verse we want. And I'll give you another one. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 40. And this is really a parable that is being spoken here, but the verse emphasizes the problem. Okay? What's happened is that the Syrians were defeated by Israel, and Ben-Hadad was delivered into Ahab's hand. And Ben-Hadad said, you know, if I go and we say to Ahab something about Ben-Hadad, he's going to maybe befriend us because he's been a friend of this king, and maybe the war will be over. And that's exactly what happened. So in verse 35, a certain man of the sons of the prophet said to his neighbor in the word of the Lord, "Smite me, I pray thee," and the man refused to smite him. Verse 37, then he found another man, said, "Smite me, I pray thee," and the man smote him so that in smiting he wounded him. All right, now it looks like the guy has been wounded in a problem. So then the prophet departed, waited for the king by the way, disguised himself with ashes upon his face, and as the king passed by, he cried unto the king in verse 39 and said, "Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, 'Keep this man, prisoner of war. Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life.'" That's pretty high ransom. If you let him go, I'm going to kill you. "Or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver." In other words, either you die or you pay me a talent of silver if you let him go. Verse 40, "And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, 'So shall thy judgment be, thyself hath decided it.'" All right, why? Now it's just a parable. It's just a hypothetical situation, but he's getting ready to relate to the king. That's what you did to Ben-Hadad. But what did he say caused him to lose that prisoner of war? He said, "I got busy here and there." All right. The third thing that will mess with your ability to grow in this or work out your own salvation with fear and trembling is distraction. Get tied up in a lot of other things that make you busy. You know, I didn't realize how many good things I was involved in that God didn't want me involved in. I was just thinking about it. You know, I've got some time now, buddy. With me and my little red rubber ball. And I'm actually feeling good in the last couple of days, so that's a blessing. But I thought to myself in the last couple of years, how many things the Lord has trimmed out of my life. It's amazing. But you know what? And they were good things. But I was busy here and there. And so the work that God wanted done wasn't getting done completely and as much as it should have been. Now, I learned a valuable lesson there that I'd like to pass along to you. Analyze your life carefully now before the Lord. You don't have to be in a rush about it. The Lord seems to have taken out one thing at a time in my life. But there are many things that have been removed to be able to devote more time to you, to the Word of God, to my family, to the Bible, to lost souls that couldn't have been done before. All of the problem was distraction. Busy here and there. Busy here and there. Look in your life, see what's busy here and there, because that busyness will interfere in your ability to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, which is the predominant thing. Listen, that's something the Lord gave you to do. He said, work that out. And so, check those distractions. Check those fears. Check those areas of neglect. That'll help you grow better when you address those. Okay? But that's not all. That's not all. Here's another one, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12. And I don't know that this affects any of you, honestly, but I'm going to mention it because it affects us sometimes. I'll tell you what, when I got out of Bible college, it affected me. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Another reason that you won't work out your own salvation with fear and trembling is you don't think you have to. You've already arrived. I got out of Bible college, buddy. I knew everything. I'm a little older now. I realize how little I did know. And so take a look at that. Sometimes you'll look around there and say, well, I look across that congregation, man. I'm better than 75% of those people. I'm good. And that Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's something you can be steady at all the way until you can't work anymore. Because you either die or you're going on to be with God in heaven. You can always find areas of improvement. A better prayer life, a better understanding of the Word of God, a better witness, more knowledgeable of things, a better teacher, a better preacher, a better song leader. There are always ways to devote yourself to improvement in the words of God. So don't let yourself get tempted by that thing right there. Think, you know, when these people catch up with me, then I might start working at my salvation a little harder. Okay, don't let that happen. Here's another one, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and look at verse 31. And I love this verse because it's two-pronged. In other words, it's got a good side to it, and too much of it has something in it that's not good. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. He said unto them, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. One preacher preached this text. He said, come yourselves apart before you come apart. Now, haven't you honestly, with your workload, your family load, your ministry load, felt like sometimes a frayed nylon rope, somebody just cut the end of it and forgot to hit that thing up and it just went and frayed out every kind of which way? It is easy. It is easy in working out your own salvation with fear and trembling to get that way. May I tell you something? The Lord told his disciples, you need to come apart and rest a while, and you need to rest a while. I still remember when Brother Peacock came here with Brother Delaney and preached, and he looked around all of us and our back-to-back schedules of vacation Bible school and teen camp and a Bible conference. He said, you know what you guys are? You guys just need to rest. That's what you need to do. And then he went on and proceeded to get busier. It's hard to take your own medicine sometimes. No. The thing about it is, he wants you to rest. But you know something? As Americans, sometimes we want too much leisure. You know, we like the four-day work week and the three-day weekend, every weekend. And that will affect your ability to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling because too much rest, and what happens to you? You get lazy. You get lazy. So you got, you know, the Bible says a false balance is abomination to the Lord, which would indicate then a perfect balance is a good thing. So find a way to balance. And listen, it's not just a matter of entertainment and recreation. Some entertainment and recreation is not restful. Have you ever been on vacation and were glad to get back to work so you can get some rest? Okay? Yeah, we've done that. So just because you've gotten away and you're entertaining yourself doesn't mean you're necessarily resting. He wants you to rest, and he wants you to, you know, you can do that with a good night's sleep. You can do that with the right time off here and there. But don't ever let that become so preeminent in your life that after you finish your occupational work and your time with your family, you say, you know, I'd go to church or do whatever, but I have just got to rest. Too much leisure can really get you down. Leisure, obsolete definition, used to be calm deliberation and judicial care. That was the definition of leisure. Calm deliberation and judicial care. You did it to take care of yourself. Now it means free time exempt from work or duties. Okay. One other thing, and then we'll be done with it. Judges chapter 19. Judges chapter 19. If you know the book of Judges, you know we're in the place where the man goes to recover his concubine from Judges chapter 19. Bethlehem, Judah, where she went back to be with her father. So he goes over there and he gets his concubine. She was there 4 months. Judges 19:3, and her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days, so that he'd eat and drink and lodge there. And it came to pass on the fourth day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto him, come for thine heart with a morsel of bread. Afterward go your way. They sat down, ate and drank, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee. Tarry all night, let thine heart be merry. He did it the fourth day. He started into that same routine on the fifth day. And finally, in verse 9, when the man rose up to depart his concubine, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you tarry all night. Behold, the day. I mean, 5 days of this, you know. And he's asking me to tarry again. And he waited late in the day, and he took off. And what happened? They didn't make it all the way home, spent the night in a town, and his wife, his concubine, was destroyed, molested by the Benjamites until she was killed. You know what that is? Procrastination. Procrastination is putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Got to be careful with that. You know, one of the ways that we procrastinate when we're trying to deal with things that are spiritual, we say, you know what, as soon as I get this and this and this out of the way, then I'll take care of that. And you know what, when you get this, this, and that out of the way, guess what you have? Then you got that, that, and this out. And then you got that and this other thing over there, this, that, and the other thing, as they say. And it's just one thing and another, and you never get to it. Procrastination. Best time to start on working out your own salvation with fear and trembling is right after you are reminded to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Tonight. And then in the morning. And don't put it off. You say, well, I don't have more than 10 minutes a day to work on it. That's 10 minutes more than you worked on it before. And that's worth doing. Because then you'll get a little bit stronger, get a little bit more energy about it, a little bit more understanding of it, and then you'll have 15 minutes, and you know how it goes. You know how it goes. So don't put it off any longer. Don't wait. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And that works for us just as well. I have been enjoying the preaching from this pulpit lately. Tony and Brian and Randy have all had a turn. We've had some visiting. And I went back and looked over some notes the other day that I had in my Bible from the stuff that's been preached. And I tell you what, I've enjoyed it because it's helped me. And I've just learned, if you put it into practice right after you hear it, it's a whole lot easier to get started on it and complete that task. So if you have any difficulty in working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, try these things and see which of those fit, and then attack it from that standpoint and see if that doesn't help you. Amen? Amen. Father, we're thankful today to see from the Scripture these are simple little things that will help us. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that by applying your Scripture, your children will grow even more in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ than they have already. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have 2 websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.